Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm appearing live via satellite, via Skype. I feel like Charlie Sheen today.
Yeah.
I'm appearing on Skype because I'm winning.
Maybe we should role play. Are you bipolar?
I'm bi winning.
Exactly. Very good, dude. And dude, just before we really get rolling into the podcast, please put your shirt back on. I can actually see you. This is a video chat, not just audio.
So. I'm offended. And B, I do not take requests.
No. So, okay. How do I minimize this window now?
I will video chat how I feel.
Obviously.
Okay. This, when we normally have guests, you don't have a problem with this.
Well, that's because I usually can't see him, dude. It's just audio. But this time, now I get to watch you in a dimly lit room without a shirt on. It's putting me off my game a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
We have no idea what Craig Custance was wearing when we had him on the podcast.
That's true. And for that, I'm thankful.
Dude, why are you focusing on the negative when we should be talking about the positive here?
It's true. There are two wins this week, an unfortunate loss to Dallas, but the Sharks are continuing to roll without Dan Boyle. Antti Niemi is still hot, and probably certainly the biggest win of the week is the win against Detroit, dude. Home games, all three. Let's talk about the Detroit win. Detroit seems to have all their guns, and yet they're not able to. They're just not as dominant as they have been early in the season. Is this just a temporary dip for the Red Wings, or is this something that we might be able to actually jump on, or another team could jump on in the playoffs?
I think if you were going to ask Red Wing fans, at least based on like how they're writing on their blogs right now, like who's spinning more out of control, Charlie Sheen or the Red Wings, they'd pick the Red Wings. Like they are. The sky is falling, Chicken Little, in Detroit. Like, they are flipping out. It's so funny. They lost again tonight. They lost to L.A. in L.A. Mm-hmm. They're really having a hard time. We're 2 points behind them. So do I think there's an opportunity to take advantage of the Red Wings? Absolutely. I think we've got their number. And if we end up playing them in the playoffs, will I be nervous? Sure. But as nervous in the past, absolutely not. Like, Sharks got to be the favorite in that series if they go head-to-head, don't you think, dude?
I would think, but it's funny how people think the sky is falling because they might slip down from the number two overall seed in the West. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous when you think about it, right?
Yeah, Detroit is Detroit, dude. They're always going to be good. But there's some wear and tear on those wheels. You know, for sure. Mm-hmm. And the question seems to be coming around again. Is Jimmy Howard good enough to take them past the second round, dude?
Well, we saw Joey McDonald last week, so we didn't even get to see Jimmy Howard. You know, certainly years past, they've had goalies, whether it's Chris Osgood, who seems to be good enough, who maybe no longer is, and some other guys that were just sort of stopgaps. And now I think we can say there's an honest-to-goodness goalie problem in Detroit, because they've seemingly tried to give the starting job to Jimmy Howard, and he just hasn't quite seized it yet. Is there hope for this guy, or you think they got to go out and get somebody else?
No, I think there's definitely hope for him, and they seem to be kind of locked in. I mean, they signed Howard to an extension. It's pretty friendly, if I remember right. It's, you know, in the mid-twos, I think, mm-hmm. You know, which is pretty cap-friendly, but Detroit's dropped 4 games in a row here. This West Coast road trip has been pretty abysmal, and then they went home tonight. Their first game home off the road trip, and they lose to the Kings. That's not good news for Sharks fans, because the Kings are kind of now gaining a little bit of momentum. But it is good news in a way, because now we're just 2 points behind the Red Wings. Sharks win one or both of these games the rest of the week, we could find ourselves as the number two, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And one thing that I think maybe we've lost sight of a little bit, although I certainly remember the fear in early January that, hey, the Sharks might be in real playoff trouble. Well, as of now, what do they have, 84 points? and 95 points should be an almost lock to get into the playoffs. So the Sharks are really only 5 or 6 wins away from being definitely in the playoffs. So they've certainly gone from a team that may be a little bit on the bubble, or, you know, could be in a little bit of danger, to a team that's basically in, I would like to think, before I, you know, say that they are in. You know, I got to knock on wood here, but
I don't know if I would go so far as to say it's a lock, because, you know, Sharks lose 3 in a row. I mean, they could find themselves, I mean, Phoenix is the 8 at 79 points. We've got 84.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all it takes is an injury to somebody else, although they've been able to fight their way through some injuries to some guys, you know, I mean, a star player like Dan Boyle and an important role player like Scott Nickel and an invaluable player like Ken Huskins. But how do you overcome losing Ken Huskins for multiple games?
I don't know, dude. I mean, Boyle is an afterthought. Huskins is the real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, this guy is a juggernaut, if I can use that term, dude. And
unironically at that, he is a juggernaut.
If Chara hit Huskins like that into the turnbuckle, would anybody have written about it the next day?
Well, the fact that it's a Montreal Canadiens player, it makes it about 10 times bigger than it would be anywhere else in the NHL. So that's something we'll have to talk about a little bit later on in the show. But let's continue to work through the games, dude. So Dallas was an unfortunate loss at home. They had a lead, and they gave it up, and Dallas won. And it was like one of those things where you think, hey, am I in November again?
I didn't feel that bad about it, actually. Like, I was disappointed that they coughed it up, but I certainly have felt worse about other games. Maybe it's because, I mean, it's easy to feel better when, you know, they've won 9 out of 10 and
right.
They had to lose eventually. You know, no one's going to go 16-0 on a cup run, right, in the playoffs.
Sure.
We don't like to see them lose third period leads, as the Sharks seem to have be their calling card occasionally. But they didn't do it against Nashville, dude. You know, I mean, it certainly was there to happen again against another team that's really scrapping and fighting to try and even make the playoffs.
With a better goalie and a more pain-in-the-ass system is how I would classify Nashville, right? I mean, yeah. Pekka has certainly shown himself to be a premier goalie in this league. He had some all-world saves against the Sharks. The Sharks dominated long stretches of that game, and it was very, very close all the way through. And I was certainly worried that there might be just a late fluky play that could end up in a national goal and the Sharks would lose and get no points. So, and a lot of that was really thanks to Rene.
So much of that game is like taking an Ambien, though.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Nashville's so boring. And we even had this conversation a little bit last night that, you know, there's been some things written about Shea Weber. Maybe they should trade him in order to get a forward. I mean, Nashville just doesn't have any good quality. They don't have a star forward
at
in
all.
The bunch.
I mean, Shea Weber is their leading points player. So that really tells you all you need to know about that. I mean, and he has 39 points or something, or 40 points, because I think he got one against the Sharks.
It's been the same. I mean, it's been the same way there for years now. For years, they've been playing the same way. I don't know. If I was a Nashville Predators fan, which I'm not, because I have some dignity, I'd be so over it by now. Get the guy with the, you know, Clint Eastwood is the man with no name. Get the man with no neck,
right,
out of town, and let's do something else. Like, good for you, Preds. You might make the playoffs again by the skin of your teeth. And then Vancouver will sweep you and you will be gone. Or we'd love to play you.
Right. Yeah. I'd take that matchup again in a heartbeat. Because right. They have no offensive weapons. There's nobody they can really count. I mean, Steve Sullivan chips in a pretty big goal now and again, but he wasn't even in the lineup.
Yeah. So, he's out. He misses every other day with a bad back.
Yeah. He's got a long history of back injuries. And if you're, you know, sole offensive threat is Shea Weber from 75 feet, then you're not going to score a lot of goals. And if you look at their record, they don't score a lot of goals, but the boring part is they don't give up any goals either, mostly due to a fairly defensive system and a great goaltender. So makes for dull games, but it makes for a heck of a playoff race, I guess. But let's turn back to Dallas. I want to turn back to Dallas for 1 second because
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to interrupt you. I'm noticing as we're Skyping video chat that you're wearing my Mississippi River Kings shirt.
That's exactly right, dude. I am wearing it.
This is very exciting. The technology is bringing us together, and we're so far apart, but yet we're collaborating.
Right. We're like almost 5 miles apart, and here we are. Like we're almost in the same room.
We couldn't make it happen to get together tonight, but we have good reasons. We have good reasons.
Very good. Although I can't remember what they were. But going back to Dallas, John from Sharks Page tweeted something, and I hope everybody's following us on Twitter because now we are Twitter masters somehow. Dudes on Hockey, of course, is the tag on Twitter. But he said that, or John tweeted during the game, that he thinks Dallas could be just as dangerous of a first-round opponent as the Ducks were 2 years ago in 2008. And I want to know if you agreed with that assessment of Dallas because obviously they beat us. They took the they put the end on a long Sharks winning streak, and they didn't have Brad Richards, and they still beat us in San Jose. So what do you think about that assessment, dude?
I wouldn't say that they are as dangerous as Anaheim because I don't think that they have the track record that the Ducks had. I mean, basically the Ducks were the same team that had like a cup run, one, right? Mm-hmm. And then they had some injury problems, and then now here they are like making it as the 8 seed, whereas Dallas has really nothing to show for this core,
right,
in terms of like proven success. But they would be at the bottom of the list of teams that I would want to play first. I wouldn't be thrilled about that matchup. But there's a lot of things about the Ducks team that, when you look at the top line of what Getzlaff, Perry, and
Bobby Ryan,
yeah. Because was Whitney on the team? I can't remember when some of these deals went down, dude. I'm a hockey mess right now.
Yeah.
But it was Ryan and Getzlaff and Perry. I mean, that's certainly a little more frightening than Richards, Ribeiro, and Erickson, right?
Yeah, I think so. And Richards isn't even in the lineup. And given the fact that he has, quote, concussion-like symptoms, I don't even think that we can count on him being back for the playoffs. We've seen how long Sidney Crosby's been out. Sidney Crosby's not practicing with the team. He's been out 8 weeks or something. So, there's no telling when Brad Richards might be back in the lineup. So assuming we see the exact same lineup as we saw on Saturday, if we were to play Dallas in the first round, I would not put them that close to how scared I was of the Ducks in 2008. They had, frankly, a better goalie. Hiller was a hot goalie that year. He certainly was very hot against the Sharks. They had a better top-end defenseman with Scott Niedermeyer, and they had a better top line. So I totally agree with you. Dallas would not be near the top of the list of teams I would want to see in the first round, but I wouldn't put them in the same breath as Anaheim right now. And maybe that's actually that will help Dallas down the road because everybody will make the same assessment. Some might take them lightly, and we might see a first-round upset with whoever Dallas plays.
So of these teams that are kind of battling it out for the 7th seed or the 6th seed, dude, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to assume that Chicago is going to finish in 4-5 somewhere. So if we're looking at teams that are in that pack, Dallas, LA, Phoenix, Calgary, Minnesota, of those teams, which one would you want to see? Best matchup for the Sharks as of today would be?
Oh, man. I want to say Phoenix, although they fall into the pain in the ass category as well. Phoenix has a same kind of situation. A good goalie, not a ton of top-end offensive talent, and a decent defensive system. Assuming Nashville's not in it, I guess I would have to say Phoenix. Because I don't like... I'm a little scared of Minnesota for some reason. I don't know why. They seem to get hot goaltending. Nicholas Backstrom always seems to play well. He's got another good save percentage this year. He's quietly playing well again. I think Havlat's a little hotter this year than he was last year. Assuming he can stay healthy, if he stays on his tear with Brent Burns on the back end and Martin Havlat on the front end, that's not a team that I would be very interested in seeing, because they'll be definitely playing with house money at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they won't have any pressure regardless of what happens.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot left to be proven here in these last few weeks, dude. It's there's going to be a lot of good hockey to watch as teams are going to be scrapping out. I mean, the last day of the season is probably going to mean more this year. We're going to see a couple games like that Flyers Rangers game we saw last year.
Right.
Speaking of, I mean, did you watch over the weekend, or was it the weekend? When was it that the Rangers just pasted the Flyers? It was on Sunday.
It was 7-0.
7-0.
Yeah.
7-0.
I mean, if anybody should be crying that the sky is falling, it shouldn't be Detroit fans. Maybe it should be Flyers fans, because they've fallen off the table. I think they've lost 5 or 6 straight at this point. And they're losing. And the other thing is, I mean, the Wings are losing to the Sharks, a playoff team. They're losing to the Kings, a playoff team. The Flyers are losing to Toronto. They're losing to Ottawa. They're losing to the Rangers. They're losing to teams that aren't very good, and they're losing bad. They're losing in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, they did get healthy against Edmonton, so, you know, that's a tough game to win.
Edmonton is
now that Taylor Hall fighter.
Yeah.
Ultimate fighting Taylor Hall.
Yeah, maybe you might want to rethink fighting next time around, Taylor Hall. Oops.
You are no Brad Staubitz.
No, sir. No, sir. Brad Staubitz still playing?
No, sir. Not.
He's still
he
in the
is?
League. He's still in the league. Yeah, he's still playing for Minnesota.
Does he get a regular shift? Like, I mean, in my being by regular shift, does he play a minute and a half? Because that's what Todd McClellan liked to play him.
I'd have to look up the stats, but I don't think.
A minute and a half? I'm one step ahead of you, dude. Todd Richards played Brad Staubitz last night 7 minutes,
wow.
8 shifts.
Nope.
Good for you.
Hey, good for you.
Dude, can we talk about two players that continue to catch my eye? If there's been any good news in Dan Boyle getting this extended rest for the mystery injury,
mm-hmm.
because we'll never know what it truly is.
Right.
The more I see him, the more I like Justin Braun. I really felt like he wasn't ready earlier in the year when he came up. He had some good offensive upside, but he's been playing 20 minutes. I mean, they're playing him on the top pairing with Douglas Murray, dude. What have you noticed about Justin Braun in these last couple games?
He's sort of a younger, skinnier Ian White in a way. He has some of the same qualities as Ian White. He's willing to jump up in the into the play. He's got some decent speed. And like Ian White, he's managing to get his shots through. Well, he had that one goal, which was frankly a little strange because it went off somebody's stick and into the goal. Totally changed the trajectory and the speed of the shot, but it went in anyway. I like Justin Braun a lot. I'm a little surprised he's playing that much. But I guess with Dan Boyle out, I guess there it is. Do you have the all the time on ice for the last game in front of you, dude?
Well, I know against Nashville that Ian White led the defenseman in minutes played. I believe he was in the 23-minute range. Yeah, Ian White played 23 and a half minutes. Vallin played almost 21 minutes. Vlasic, 21 and a half. Murray, 20.
Yeah.
And Jason Demers, 20 and a half. And Justin Braun played 18. So that was... He played the fewest, but, you know, it's not like he's playing 4 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
18
like,
minutes is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, he was playing a lot. He's doing a lot of things that you like to see from a young player, and he's just got such a crisp pass. I really like it. But every game, especially recently, is in the last month, I like Jason Demers more and more and more. This kid is not just an offensive player like we saw last year. He's got a little bit of a mean streak now. He's playing really solid in his own end. He's blocking shots. He had 3 hits last night. I like Jason Demers, dude. He's a legit NHL D-man.
Yeah, I am very pleasantly surprised at Jason Demers. And with all due respect to the juggernaut, I can say, Ken Huskins, take your time. You know what I mean? Take your time. Get healthy. Get all the way healthy.
It's very convenient that he's on long-term IR, and I think he's got an indefinite stay in the hotel. Get well.
The one thing that's interesting to me is it was Huskins and Vallin, right, on the bottom pairing when Huskins was in the lineup every night, pretty much.
I don't know if they were put together. Were they at the end? I thought they kind of had them split. But go ahead, dude.
But it seems like Vallin's playing time has really jumped since Ian White came in. So is it possible that we were maybe not accurately measuring the play of Nicholas Vallin? Because Ian White's here, and I was a little surprised when he was playing with Nick Vallin to start with, and he still is. And now we see that Ian White's getting a ton of minutes, and we're seeing actually Nick Vallin get a ton of minutes too. So
you're saying Huskins was the dead weight dragging Vallin into the abyss?
Well, I'm trying to say that nicely, but you shortened my little spiel quite well, I'd say.
This is a very polite way of saying Huskins sucks.
No, I'm not going that far. But
dude, how do you say that?
I'm saying that
it's worth every penny.
I'm confused about the whole Nick Vallin thing because I thought we had him sort of slotted as the number five, number six, and now he's playing with Ian White, he's playing a ton.
Yeah, but, you know, Dan Boyle not being there, the whole thing is kind of thrown off a little bit. He's probably picking up all Boyle's PK time, and, you know, I think that that's thrown it off. The question is, really, is what happens when Boyle comes back and he's healthy? I guess it's – you got to assume that Justin Braun's the one that sits. But when Huskins comes back, he's just the odd man out, right, dude?
Yeah, he's got to be. He has to be the odd man out, right? I mean – you know, would anybody want to play Huskins over Vallin? Because that seems to be the question that we're talking about.
I can think of one person who would. What's Ken Huskins.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. Logically, that certainly makes sense. And there's still a little bit of a cap dance to be had here. You know, when those guys come back, if they come back before the regular season's over, and maybe they conveniently won't. I know that that's kind of against the rules, but,
right.
You know.
Or maybe Doug Wilson's just going to, like, hit him in the knee with a hammer as he walks by in the hallway one day.
Like, uh-oh. Ken Huskins is like, I feel better. I feel better.
I don't want to go in the cart.
I'm not dead. I won't go. I won't go in the cart.
Oh, you'll be stone dead in a moment. All right. Another bad English accent here. Dudes on hockey. So I guess, it sounded like Boyle skated with the team today is what I read on Pollock today. So it sounds like he's getting close. So I guess we're going to see that decision being made here pretty quickly. Or do you think they're going to keep him out, you know, even longer? Because it doesn't seem like there's a huge hole in the defensive lineup at the moment.
Why rush it? That's just sort of my take on it. The team is playing well without him. They're getting an extended look at Justin Braun. I think, is it possible we'll see him against Vancouver because he's going to be itching to get in there, especially against Vancouver? Yeah, pretty possible he'll play tomorrow. But if he's not 100%, I would keep him out.
Like, yeah.
Why risk it? You got to have him going down the stretch. So he'll probably sit until they're completely confident that he's ready to go. Similar to what they did with Nidamaki. You know, they weren't going to, they need him. You can't go into the playoffs with Carter Hutton,
right?
A guy we've never seen play a game.
No,
you know, backing up Niemi, like, it's not going to happen, dude. Not gonna happen.
So that means Nidamaki has got to be playing pretty soon, right? I mean, he's probably not going to play against Vancouver, but could we see him against the Rangers or a team next week? I mean, I would have to think we're going to see him pretty soon.
Next week, and I mean, my guess would be is, you know, on the road trip, there's back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to figure he'll probably go. I mean, if I had to guess, he'll go in Dallas. Like, you got to think that they're going to let Niemi go against Chicago in Chicago. And then next Tuesday night, we'll see Nidamaki. And then I would also guess that maybe we'd see him again the next week, either against Calgary at home or in L.A.,
right.
Probably in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my guesses on Nidamaki's future playing time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's right. He's got to play at least a couple games or hopefully more before the playoffs start, because if something bad should happen to Niemi or if he gets cold or something, you don't want Ninomaki going 2 months without playing a game, because that's death. Then you might as well roll the dice and take your chances with a backup or a minor league guy, because you have no idea what you're going to get.
Dude, how good has Danny Heaney been in these last couple games?
He's been money.
Money. Money?
Yeah.
Money. Beautiful babies.
Absolutely. It's funny how, you know, it's like people bang him for not playing well defensively, and he made a couple of really sparkling defensive plays over the past few games, and, you know, he's just quietly playing well all over the ice. Well, not so quietly when he's scoring goals, but he's been really solid, and I think people may forget that he plays parts of a penalty kill pretty often. Him and Jumbo play the penalty kill together a lot. It's not an occasional thing with Heatley. He's definitely getting all situations here. So he's not anywhere close to his numbers last year, of course. And, you know, we hope and expect him to be a 40 goal scorer, and he's only in the low 20s at this point. So can't be too happy about that. But all other things that aside, he's playing pretty well.
Yeah, I think especially I noticed in the Nashville game in person that he definitely looks interested, and sometimes I feel like he doesn't, you know. Yeah. He's just sort of coasting around, and he doesn't really, he's a big guy. I mean, he's 6'4", 220. Mm-hmm. He's really big, and he was using his size against Nashville, throwing his weight around. He was getting mad. He was everywhere. I just felt like he was everywhere. I mean, as much as, you know, Todd McClellan hates Jamie McGinn, you know, when Jamie McGinn is up and playing, like, that guy's everywhere, Scott Nichols everywhere. And I felt like Danny Heatley kind of had a little bit of that bug up his butt last night. He's flying around. He's making hits. He's blocking shots. He's shooting on net.
Yeah.
Getting in there, dude. You know, if Heatley continues to go like this, that's got to be a good sign, right?
Right, and Marlowe is picking it up too. He had the overtime goal again against Nashville. So, maybe
Marlowe just loves waiting in the weeds, dude.
Yeah,
he's always waiting in the weeds. You know, you don't really notice him most of the game, and then all of a sudden, bam!
Yeah, there he is. And then he just dusts everybody and goes in on a breakaway.
Sleeping on the job. I got you. Marlowe has scored a goal in 3 straight games, dude.
Nice.
So, we'll see if he can keep the fever alive against Vancouver. What are your thoughts about how we match up with the Canucks right now?
Not very well. let's be honest. I mean, Vancouver's is number one in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Dude. Very well.
Good goaltending, great D, awesome top line and depth. Other than that, they're terrible. I mean, what can you say? I mean, they've had some injury
problems. I'm not a good team. I'm just saying that I certainly feel a lot better about how we match up against them now than I did 2 months ago.
Well, sure. In the middle of a massive losing streak, you don't feel like you match up well against the Senators. But, I guess the Sharks, if in Vegas, I haven't looked at the line, might be a slight favorite at home against the Canucks. I would assume they are the favorite, but you know, this is the class of the West right now. Vancouver is winning tough games. They're winning easy games. They're winning a lot of games, and they're scoring a ton of goals, and they're not giving up a lot. So I think Tom McClellan, or I read a quote from him. I mean, they're top 5 power play and penalty kill. I mean, they don't really seem to have a whole lot of weaknesses at the moment. So if the Sharks can take one against Vancouver, it'll look great, but I can't say I'm expecting it.
I'm expecting it.
Okay, good dude.
I'm going on the record, dude.
Nice, dude. Good for
I'm
you.
I'm going on the record. I just think this is a chance for the Sharks to kind of stake their territory here and go, we are the best team in the West, and this is a chance for them to win at home against Vancouver. And I'll tell you, dude, I will be disappointed tomorrow night if they don't win. This is a game they need to win at home against a good team, maybe the best team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're going to make a cup run and you're going to go in and do it, you got to show them, and you got to show them now so they don't feel like they can walk into your building in the playoffs and get her done.
Get her done. You're going Larry the Cable Guy on me now.
I am. You know, I'm a big fan. Dude,
yeah.
If we made a bet and loser had to go to a Larry the Cable Guy concert and sit in the front row.
Ooh.
And every time he said, get her done, you had to stand up and take off your shirt and go, woo! Every time?
Yeah.
Would you make that bet on the chance you might lose?
Them's some high stakes, my friend. I don't know if I want to do that.
Loser has to.
Yeah, Doug and I often make or propose various bets. We're not where the winner actually wins anything, but the loser has to do something really annoying and or embarrassing.
Like loser has to go to the Backstreet Boys concert.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Or loser has to go to the Taylor Swift concert in a pink half T-shirt and hold a sign saying, I love Taylor. Or the best one was loser has to go to the Jeff Dunham comedy concert and sit in the front row with a ventriloquist dummy. And every time Jeff Dunham says a joke, the dummy laughs hysterically, but you don't.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how creepy that would be? Jeff Dunham would be on stage seeing you not laughing, but the dummy laughing. That would almost be worth it. That would almost be like worth it to lose the bet and do that because it'd be really funny.
Loser has to do that, dude.
Right. So questions of Dudes on Hockey. Send us your loser has to bet.
Oh, yeah. And we'll see if we would do it.
Yeah, we'll see if we would do it.
I like that.
Yeah. Or you can tweet us or Facebook or one of those things. Dude, let's get to the Chara thing. I know I teased it earlier in the show, so we should talk about it. It's like the talk of the NHL. Everybody needs to talk about it. I saw Jeremy Roenick actually on PTI earlier this week talking about hits, talking about Sidney Crosby. This, of course, was before the big Chara hit on Max Pacioretty of the Montreal Canadiens, who basically rode him into the boards, and it was in such a way where I guess there's a piece of glass, a vertical glass between the benches, and it was on that side of the ice, and basically Chara racked him up on the glass. And
yeah, it's like a post.
Yeah, a turnbuckle or whatever you want to call it. And Pacioretty was out, you know, unconscious on the ice. Turns out he has a broken vertebrae. Nasty. Yeah. That is a nasty injury. We don't know when he's going to be back. Probably, certainly not this year, I would imagine. So, and, you know, of course, you know, the Canadiens fans got all their stuff up in a bunch. And, all the Bruins fans say, well, you know, it's a legal hit. And you know, Bob McKenzie sort of managed to anger both sides by saying, you know, he kind of should have known, but he shouldn't get a lot of games. So, you know, sort of not pacifying either side. What's your take on this? And what do you think this says about, is this like, you know, a doom and gloom situation for the league? They have to take care of their players and all this crap. Or is this just like one of those things that just happens when you got guys moving at 30 miles an hour, going around glass and with sticks and stuff?
Yeah, I guess this is my question for you, back at you on it. If Trevor Gillies did this hit, what would have happened?
He would have gotten 80 games.
Right.
Yeah.
He would have maybe lifetime banned. Like, it's the person who did it that is making it not as punishable, I guess.
Right.
Because Char is a huge star. I can't think, does he really have a history of being a violent player or a disorderly player, someone who gets himself in a lot of trouble? I mean, I've watched the hit a couple times. It is flat out nasty.
Oh, yeah.
And it sure does look like he went to that little extra effort to slam his head into that post. I mean, but when you're like 8 feet taller than everybody else.
Yeah.
You got to admit, how could he have, why would you want to actually do that to somebody? You know, you just can't imagine that it was intentional, but I think he should have got something, dude.
Did he get anything?
Nothing.
He got nothing.
I think he got nothing.
Wow. I don't think he has a history at all of suspensions or anything like that. And I think you're totally right. The problem is, and this goes, I know this is something I've said on the podcast before, but to me, it doesn't matter what this hit was or what the Trevor Gillies hit was or whether he should have gotten 10 more games or the guys on PTI thought he should be out for the rest of the season. He should have gotten 20 games. He was literally back from, he was the first game back from a 9-game suspension and hit Clutterbuck. EJ Raddick said that hit on Clutterbuck wasn't even that bad. But here's the thing. Here's the main problem with this whole situation. And it goes for Chara, it goes for Gillies, it goes for every major hit in the NHL, it goes for the thing with Crosby, is no player can predict with any kind of confidence what's going to happen when they hit a guy a certain way.
Right.
Unless you hit the guy in the most flagrant way possible. In the back, into the boards, with your butt end of your stick, into the guy's jaw. Anything short of that, you have no idea what's going to happen. Here's Pass, you're ready. Broke his back, literally. And Chara gets nothing. Here's, you know, Gillies hitting Clutterbuck sort of from the side. And he gets 10 games. And Clutterbuck's fine. So no one can tell with any kind of consistency what's actually going to happen. And until players can do that, they're going to keep playing the way they're playing right now. Because they can't afford to let up. Because there's another guy in the AHL who's going to take that job and make that hit and walk that line. Walk on that edge of the violence, right? Because no one can tell what's going to happen. If Chara could say to himself, 2 seconds after Pacioretty went down, I'm going to get 20 games for that hit, then we don't have this problem. Because then he wouldn't have made that hit. It's just that simple. But Chara doesn't know, and Trevor Gillies doesn't know, and Dave Steckel doesn't know when he hits Sidney Crosby. No one can tell what's really going to happen. And until that problem is solved, you're going to see the same kind of stuff, the same kind of risk-taking that we're seeing every day. Because this is these guys living. It's a lot of money. They get paid a lot of money to do this stuff. And they're not just going to let up because they think, oh, you know, something could happen and I could get in trouble, but probably not. And all that, you know, they don't have time to make that calculation while they're skating around. They have to know or not know. And they don't know right now. So that's what's going to happen.
Should we maybe just go to flags instead of hitting someone? Pull the flag?
Yeah, just pull the flag. That would be cool.
But crossed my mind as you were giving a really great analysis, dude, is the only thing I could think of is that I forgot to drop Patchy already on our fantasy team. We have him.
Dude, go. Stop the podcast. I'm hitting the pause button. Go, go.
I'm going to start working on it right now.
Okay, you do that.
Damn it. I kind of like, you sounded like the Charlie Brown teacher for the second half of it, and all I could think about is how fast I could drop him.
Mike's talking, so, blah, blah, yeah, blah.
Maybe he'll come back this year.
Yeah, I doubt that, dude.
Ouch. That's too bad. That guy is on a roll.
Yeah.
But unpredictable is the key word, and you never really know. And one thing that is predictable right now, the Sharks are giving a solid effort, dude.
Solid effort every night.
They'll be able to carry it through three pretty tough games while we are waiting for our next podcast. We've got Vancouver, we've got the Rangers, and we've got the Chicago Blackhawks, dude. And then we've got Dallas. So probably all four of those games will happen before we talk to the listeners again. If you had to go on the record, dude, before we go, what is your prediction in terms of points or expectations in those four games?
Four games? I'm going to say, I'll say 5 points in four games. I think the Rangers are a win. I don't think we can beat Vancouver. The Blackhawks are one of the hottest teams in the NHL, and Dallas just beat us. So all three of those four games are going to be really tough. Only the Rangers, I would say the Sharks definitely should win. And, you know, the Dallas and the Chicago games are on the road. So if you haven't read the podcast, I have a little discussion about why teams lose on the road. So I encourage you to read that. So what are you predicting, dude? I assume you're probably going a little bit more optimistic than I.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6 points. And I wouldn't shock me, actually, if we got a point in every game, actually. I could see us dropping in over two overtime games. But I think the Sharks, they're rolling hotter than anybody, you know what I mean, right now. As hot as Chicago. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a great game. It's going to be a good week of hockey for Sharks fans.
Yeah. Make sure to watch all the games. And, of course, make sure to listen to us again next week. Same time, same place.
Dude, can't wait to be sitting across the table from you again.
Me either, dude. And I can't wait for you to actually have a shirt on.
No promises. No promises.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.